Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
For years, people have been pushing to have our government release information about UFOs. They're now known as UAPs, Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena. And we have had some documents produced in the last few months. I would like to discuss what those documents show. Why is the government continuing to keep this information confidential? And what do we need to do to push our legislators and our government to pass laws and enforce them to get this information? Daniel Sheehan is a very prominent American constitutional lawyer. He's a public interest lawyer and an activist. He's worked on many high-profile cases, including the Pentagon Papers, the Karen Silkwood case, and the Iran-Contra scandal. He's undergrad in law degrees from Harvard University, and he's the co-founder of the Paradigm Institute, which is spearheading support for further transparency when it comes to these issues. Professor, thank you so much for joining us.
Terrific. Thanks, Karen. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how are you?
So,
pretty good.
Did you like your intro, the little alien song?
Yeah, I saw that. That was who was the lady singing? That was
I forgot. I think it was before I was born, but I'm not sure.
Almost like Giselle McKenzie or somebody from Lucky Strike Hit Parade.
Nice pull.
I'll look it up and I'll get you on the other side. So you're a civil rights lawyer. Like, how did you get into the issue of UFOs? And I'm going to use UFOs because I think more people are familiar.
That's what everybody knows. Yeah.
Yeah, it's what everybody knows. So.
After graduating from Harvard Law School, after I graduated from Harvard College, you know, I ended up going out practicing law, did some of those cases you've heard about. I was the co-founder of the Harvard Civil Rights Law Review. We initiated the case that established the right of all journalists to protect their confidential news sources, went all the way to the Supreme Court, and we won that. I got hired by the major corporate litigation law firm that represented NBC News and was there, and I'm the one that got the call when the New York Times got the Pentagon Papers. So we represented the New York Times in the Pentagon Papers case. I was then recruited by F. Lee Bailey and was one of the attorneys during the Watergate burglary case that we represented James McCord, a former CIA wiretapping specialist that got caught in headquarters. He's the one that wrote the letter to Judge Sirica blowing the whistle on the plumber's unit. I've been doing all of that. And when I realized that what was really going on inside the government from the Pentagon Papers and Watergate burglary and everything else, I went back to the Harvard University to do my PhD in comparative philosophy, trying to explain different worldviews that different people were pursuing. I ended up was doing my PhD work there, and I got recruited to become the chief counsel for the United States Jesuit Order in Washington, D.C., in their social ministry office. And it was there that I got contacted right after President Carter was elected in November of 1976. The first thing he did was demanded to know what about the UFO issue and the occupants of the UFOs, what's going on here. And the head of the CIA refused to brief him, saying that, that the president didn't need to know. He had no need to know that. And he wouldn't give him the information. So President Carter assigned, called Congress and got Congress to get the legislative research group, congressional research group, to do a major investigation of what documents we had and what evidence we had inside the government about the UFO issue. And I got contacted by Dr. Marcia Smith, who was the head of the Science and Technology Division of the National Congressional Research Services, and asked if I'd become general counsel. Special counsel, actually, to the investigation, so I could contact the Vatican and see if we could get access to the papal what do they call them, the archives, the famous Vatican archives, to see if we could get access to them to share the information with President Carter. That's how I got into it.
So, Professor, didn't Carter have some sighting? Didn't he have some personal experience with it? Could you tell us quickly what that was?
Oh, he did. He did. When he was governor of Georgia, he was doing a presentation out at a Lions Club outside of in Georgia, and the other guys took a smoke break, went out on the back porch to do it, and a UFO came. I mean, not some dancing light far off in the sky. This was treetop level, less than a football field a length away, and President Carter was with him and saw it. So the very first thing he did, just like President Obama said, when President Obama was asked what was the first thing he did after he was inaugurated, he said he insisted upon getting briefed on the UFO issue. And when he was asked, well, do you believe the aliens are real? And he said, yes, I do. That's what triggered President Trump to insist that they start revealing some of this.
Now, we're going to take a break in a minute, but can you just briefly tell us where these documents and these records are? I mean, are they in military agencies? Are they in CIA? Are they in NASA? Are they in all of the above?
Well, they're spread among all six of the, and they've been targeted specifically by a statute, by a law passed by the Senate. The United States Senate in 2023 passed the UFO or UAP Disclosure Act, commanding all six of the U.S. military services, you know, all 18 of the United States intelligence agencies, all 32 of the United States Defense Department agencies, and all of the private aerospace contractors, military contractors to the government. They all were demanded by Congress, by the Senate in that case, to gather all this information together and put it in digital format with an index to make it available to the National Archives so that the members of Congress could get to see this. They refused to give it over to Congress. They just kept it until this event took place when former President Obama announced that he had insisted upon getting this information and that they were real. And that's when President Trump then gave instructions to these agencies to start turning over some of this information. They've done four tranches of this so far, but it's only very, very tangential information so far. All they're doing is talking about distant lights in the sky that seem to be moving rather erratically, you know, and they're concealing still the major family jewels here.
What do you expect the documents would show if all of them were released? What would you speculate would be in those documents?
Well, we don't have to speculate because we know what some of them would contain, because there have been 40 people from deep inside the program that have come forward secretly to the House or the Senate Intelligence Committee and have testified under oath, providing documents and details showing, very importantly, number one, that UFOs are absolutely real, that our government has known about this since at least 1947. Number two, that they're actually in possession of a number of intact operational UFOs that they have seized. They've developed some sort of a scalar weapon of some sort that can knock down some of the UFOs under certain circumstances. They lure them in and then knock them down and capture them. And that they're, number three, they're engaged, our U.S. government, there's an element deep inside our War Department that is attempting to reverse engineer the actual technology of these UFO spacecraft to develop a major delivery platform for U.S. nuclear weapons.
To summarize,
the UFO people are here, that they actually have individuals from the craft that they've taken into custody and they've interviewed them. So all of that information is being concealed still by the government.
So I don't mean to simplify this, but I have no other way to do it. But so the idea is that our government, instead of maybe meeting and greeting and trying to understand them and learn from them and engage with them on some sort of peaceful basis, they have are capturing them and trying to use the technology that they have to create weapons of destruction.
That is right. No, that is simple and it is true. It's sort of staggering that, you know, given this absolutely extraordinary development of realizing that there's a non-human extraterrestrial civilization all around our exterior to our solar system, and that they're coming and going in out of our solar system to our planet Earth, that they have bases. There's a base almost certainly off Baja in California just off Guadalupe Island. There's a very specific spot. I've talked to people face-to-face high up in the military and intelligence community. They have the exact longitude and latitude down to the minute and seconds of where this location is, located deeply beneath the ocean, on the ocean floor, off Guadalupe Island, off Baja. And it's a base that they've got on video, on gun camera videos from F-18 Super Hornets, you know, over 100 examples of UFOs coming down from over 80,000 feet in altitude, which is basically outer space, down to the surface of the ocean right there, and plunging under the water with no splash and proceeding at over 400 miles an hour underwater down to the ocean floor, deeper than our submarines can go and track them. But they realize that there's some kind of a base down there.
Let me ask you this.
USS Nimitz watching them.
Let me ask you this. So, you know, Karen's done a wonderful job as a journalist. You know, she's an attorney playing a journalist here, and she's done a wonderful job with you in sort of catching us up to what's going on currently. 30-year career, this has been sort of a white whale for me. And this dates back to something that happened with my family with a UFO sighting.
Uh-huh.
In
California.
In California, in what's known as Triangle Alley, something very similar to, if you've seen the movie Age of Disclosure, what happened at Vandenberg Air Force Base, an almost identical sighting by several of my relatives. Who described in great detail what we saw play out. I've interviewed Dan Farah, the director of the movie Age of Disclosure, on multiple occasions.
Yep.
But that's not what I wanted to ask you about. So, I've been doing this for a very long time, and over the course of my career, I've had an opportunity to speak with lawmakers, and for years, I would be stonewalled, and it was really this stigma of, I'm not going to talk about this. This notion that, you know, this reluctance, this tinfoil hat society that, you would be associated with, even allowing the possibility that there are aliens among us, to your point about the capture of these beings. So my question is this, this is something that has completely been turned on its head since the David Grushes have come out. Really Harry Reid at the forefront of fighting, through the obfuscation of these various agencies, the Atomic Energy Act that has shielded so much of the truth from average Americans. My question to you is this. Without these whistleblowers, are we anywhere close to knowing the truth? I feel like we aren't, and it doesn't seem to me a valid argument anymore that we are children who can't handle the truth, that there must be something more. I don't want to use the word nefarious. Is it as simple as the proprietary ownership of this technology? Why aren't we allowed as reasonable human beings to know the truth about who else is sharing the earth with us?
Well, one of the fundamental problem, Scott, is the creation of this national security state secrecy regime that has been set up here in the United States since World War II. Right at the end of World War II, they passed the National Security Act of 1947, and then in February of 1948, the National Security Council that had been created by the Act in 1947 issued this National Security Decision Directive asserting that the CIA could engage in covert operations and were authorized to lie to Congress, to conceal information from Congress, to not tell the American people, not tell anybody about it. And very importantly, they set up a program as a PSYOPs, a psychological operations, which has now been confirmed by documents that have been secured by Richard Dolan, who has written this major two-volume piece called The UFOs and the National Security State. And he shows the documents that they have manufactured this stigma against UFOs as part of the strategy to conceal it. And the reason they're concealing it is because they want to develop weapon systems, and they're hiding them under the same security of the Atomic Energy Act, under which they hide secrets of nuclear weapons technology.
But couldn't you do both? You do both? Couldn't you have your top secret, you know, high tech under the ocean, off the coast of Baja, and run your PSYOPs and still let us know what's really going on out there?
Right.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no doubt about it, Scott. They can do this. as constitutional scholars and litigators that have litigated things like the Pentagon Papers case, the Watergate burglary, et cetera, we know exactly how you can protect legitimate, you know, technological secrets, but still to conceal the fact that there's an entire non-human extraterrestrial civilization all around us in our galaxy is absolutely, totally absurd. And it shows how absurd the consequences are of setting up this whole regime of keeping secrets, because those who possess the secrets feel that they're in power over everybody else. And that's what's really happened here. This tiny group of a dozen men, it's now expanded somewhere like 24 or 27 people that are involved in this major legacy group that are concealing this information. And from just a bureaucratic imperative, they've just held on to it. They continue to refuse to let anybody have it. And now what they're doing is they're letting little drips and drabs out in these tranches of information in which they're still pretending that they can't figure out what this is. They don't know for sure what these are, where they come from, you know, what's really going on. That's not true at all. They've captured them. They've got the craft. They're operational. They've started trying to figure out how to fly these things. They know that the craft are piloted telepathically by the UFO occupants. And it's buffaloing the entire national security state how to deal with this. But the fact of the matter is they're concealing it and lying about it and lying and constantly filing false reports with Congress and, very importantly, Scott, embezzling billions of dollars out of other appropriated funds from the government, not just out of military programs, but like out of the Department of Forestry and other places. They're skimming money out of these things criminally and putting them into this secret program and think that they're really cool. And they're lying to the American people and perjuring themselves to Congress. Something has to get done.
So
and what we need to do is have a major criminal investigation of the crimes that are being committed. This is how you can get people, given individual people, prosecutorial immunity if they will testify more about this. But we still have 40 people that have already come forward to the Senate Intelligence Committee and have provided all kinds of information that the Senate Intelligence Committee members know.
I'm going to read a comment, Professor, that I want to read just because I'm sure you have been confronted with this every day of your life. I'm not sure why you're giving a platform to these nutcases, but I wish you wouldn't. What do you say to people who say to you, you're just making this stuff up and you're latching onto something that's just a fantasy?
Well, it's just a failure on their part to read any of the objective information that's available and to see the sworn testimony that's been provided now to the United States Congress, to the House Oversight Committee. There's all kinds of documented proof. What I would suggest to them is they go online or go on to Amazon and get a copy, it's two volumes of UFOs and the National Security State, written by Richard Dolan. I'd also recommend that they watch Ross Coulthart on News Nation, his reality check program. He just got through doing a major one-hour interview of Sam Gerb, and they reviewed all of the details of the information that's available. I'm not going to be attacking people who've been targeted by a covert operation of our CIA to try to conceal and brainwash these people. You know, I mean, that I'm not blaming the regular people if they hear from authoritative sources like the CIA and others that, oh, there's no such thing as UFOs.
Can you speak?
Anybody specifically, you're mentally ill if you believe,
right,
UFOs. That's the very part of the program they promoted.
Can you speak briefly, given the heft of your experience? You know, Senator Harry Reid, yeah, you know, Senate Majority Leader, he learns that Lockheed Martin, a well-known defense contractor, is in possession of technology that came from a UFO crash site. He goes to the Pentagon. He says, I want to see what you have. The Pentagon says, no, sorry. And he says, wait, I'm Harry Reid. I'm a United States senator.
You're
and
right.
They say, tough luck. Right. Can you just speak briefly,
right,
to the fact that a man of his station is denied,
yes,
a simple request like that to view what a company has in its possession?
No. This is the extent to which the program, the national security state people, have now gone. that they have established this alliance of high-ranking military officials, intelligence officers. They end up getting hired by these private aerospace corporations, you know, for like $300,000, $400,000 a year as soon as they retire from the Congress. And what they're doing is the other ones are in military stuff. They're using their position inside the government to curry favor with these private corporations. The private corporations are trying to get patents, private patents on this technology that has been put into their hands by the government. And this is the extreme to which this has gone. Now, Senator Reid has been unable to get the information. Also, the J-2, Admiral Thomas, his name was, that he actually was the J-2. He was the point briefer to the United States Joint Chiefs of Staff, you know, and he was unable to get the information. This is a box that they've locked this stuff up into, and they're engaged in major a criminal racketeering operation trying to enrich the private shareholders of these handful of these major aerospace corporations. It's like Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman, other corporations like this, Boeing. Some of them, you know, they're making hundreds of millions and sometimes billions of dollars in private profits trying to get licenses on this technology.
Tell us about your efforts to get whistleblowers protection. Tell us who the whistleblowers are, generally, without names and all of that, of course.
Sure.
You can't give that, but like, or even their positions, but like, what kind of people are they? What kind of information do they have? And what are their concerns? Obviously, their jobs, their pensions, and maybe even their lives, you know, if they're prosecuted.
Yeah, we're the ones, because of the work we've done with whistleblowers, we've been approached by, for example, Tim Burchett, who is the one of the congressmen that is in the House Oversight Committee, who is on this task force to declassify government secrets. And he specifically asked our New Paradigm Institute to actually craft a watertight gold standard a UFO whistleblower protection statute, which we did. Myself working on it, and also Hunt Willis, who is now legal counsel for the UAP Disclosure Foundation. We put together a group of lawyers. We prepared a 15-page statute that is ironclad, and it will give a legal cause of action to any whistleblower who is retaliated against in any way whatsoever by anybody inside the government or one of these private aerospace corporations. They will have a legal cause of action. They've created a legal cause of action in this statute in the federal courts, and that they will receive damages from that person that can bankrupt the other person. You know, and also, if anybody is in a position inside the government or inside one of these private aerospace corporations who is in a position to do something to protect the other person, and they learn about a plot to kind of retaliate against them, and they don't do anything to stop it, they too can be named as a co-defendant. This is the gold standard. And there's anybody who is serious about getting UFO information and getting whistleblowers truly protected in order to get them to come forward will support that bill. And Congressman Tim Burchett has the bill on his table. Our New Paradigm Institute has also been asked to draft a 58-page bill that would authorize Congress to put together its own oversight committee to review all of these documents, to extract all of those documents from the executive agencies by subpoena and bring in the people that have got control over these documents. We know who they are. We can bring them in. If you watch Ross Coulthard's recent interview of Sam Gerb just a week ago on Reality Check, which is on News Nation, you will see he lays out in names a half a dozen different people who are key people that they need to be subpoenaed. You know, I mean, these are folks, Steve Cantrell, you know, Donald Kerr, you know, Clapper himself, you know, Kaminsky, John Craven. These are people that have been named they need to be subpoenaed. We need to get people being courageous enough inside the House Oversight Committee to subpoena these people, bring them in, compel them to testify. If they refuse to testify, then they'd be held in contempt of Congress. and they can be punished. This is the way we've got to do this, and we can give immunity. There needs to be a major federal criminal racketeering act criminal complaint lodged. We've been asked to draft that at the New Paradigm Institute. We've got a rough draft of that now, and we could be in position to recommend to Maine Justice who might be given prosecutorial immunity to testify against the higher-ups to get at this information.
And I would think
we tried to be polite with these people, and they're just not cooperating.
And I would think that this current administration would be in favor of pushing the DOJ into bringing these charges. I've got a texter from 406 who says, if Russia and China are also involved in trying to weaponize captured ET technologies, how do we deal with that?
Well, the first thing to keep in mind, Karen and Scott, is the fact is that the United States started this thing, you know, just like they started nuclear weapons. And China didn't have any nuclear weapons. Russia didn't have any nuclear weapons. If the United States develops these kind of weapon systems, the others start responding. And then we point to their responding as justification for us making even more effort in this area. This is a kind of a merry-go-round that we've got to get stopped here. This is all a function of a national security state. You know, we have gotten in possession of the documents now. When Gorbachev stepped out of the Cold War back in December of 1991, withdrew from the Cold War, agreed to disassemble all of their nuclear weapons if the United States would agree to do so, too, in China. The United States is the one that refused to do that because they insist that they need to keep the nuclear weapons so that they can maintain their continued privileged access to the strategic raw materials around the world for their major industries. This is a theory of government economics in the country that is extraordinarily threatening to the rest of the world.
Are we the undeclared leader?
China are responding.
Are we the undeclared leader in reverse engineering of this technology?
Oh, yes. There's no doubt about that. I mean, we've been at this since 1947. We got a craft as early as 1945 that Pope Pius XII turned over a UFO that had crashed in Italy back in 1933. It was in the possession of the Mussolini government. They didn't know what to do with it, but the Pope turned it over to the United States government in 1945. But from 1945 to 1947, we were all involved in the post-World War II world, trying to reconstruct Europe and doing all of that stuff. They didn't really pay that as much attention to it as they might have. But in July of 1947, when the only place where nuclear weapons existed on the planet, which was the 509th Bomber Group in New Mexico at Roswell, that's where one of the UFOs crashed because they were surveilling our use of nuclear weapons. And when we got that craft and the bodies of the non-human beings that were piloting that, we right away realized what was going on here. And President Truman set up a 12-person board, which is discussed in that interview with Ross Coulthard of a week ago with Sam Gerb. They talk all about it. This group of 12 people were set up called Majestic, the Majestic 12, who basically concealed this information, engaged in this whole process of trying to figure out how to weaponize this technology to use it as an advantage to maintain our place as a superior military force on the entire planet.
Professor,
what happened here.
I'm sorry if you've covered this, but we've got a texter who also says, yeah, you know, have we seen this technology? Meaning, have we actually used this technology? And if we have, who have we used it against? And would we even know that it was derived from ET sources?
The fact is they've been trying to reverse engineer it. That's what a lot of these witnesses that have gone before the Senate Intelligence Committee under oath, behind closed doors, and have provided information on what the state of development is of these particular technologies. That it does appear that the work they've been doing at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base out in Ohio, they've got a major operation going. It's beneath the major base out there. I've been out there, talked to the people at the place. There's a building 23 that's got this major elevator system that goes down into the underground work there. It's not all being done at S4 or Area 51. They're engaged in trying to reverse engineer this. They have, in fact, figured out some minimal levels of the technology, at least, that can increase the speed of some of the flights of some of our fighter jets, et cetera. But the problem is they don't know how to master the telepathic communication system with the propulsion system that's in the UFOs. So what they've been doing is they've been trying to find people who are psychic, who they can recruit to try to figure out how to fly these craft. And so there's this whole program that's going on behind the scenes of trying to recruit people, and they've actually gone to the point of doing tests for young kids on the military bases, in their schools on the military bases,
wow,
to find kids that are psychic, to try to train them to, when they grow older, to be able to fly these craft.
Wow. Let me ask you this.
Talk about driver's ed education.
Yeah, no kidding. Your knowledge is clearly encyclopedic on this. But I got to ask you, you know, as a human being, you know, as all this anecdotal evidence comes in and this research that you've done, is there any one instance, a case where it absolutely blew your mind, where you said to yourself, I can't believe what I've just learned?
Well, I think the most important thing that I've learned was the stuff about the psychic capabilities of the UFO people. You know, they are capable not only of telepathically navigating their craft, but what they've done is they've developed a technology whereby they've been able to do a thing like stem cell, where they've actually inserted into the craft that they've been building in their star system dendrites and synapses from their brain that generate brain tissue inside these craft. So the craft themselves are semi-sentient, and that's how they respond to telepathic direction. This is extraordinary. I mean, and what we're doing is we're crossing into this area now. This is one of the most important things, because, as I said, I was at Jesuit headquarters. I was a candidate for the Catholic priesthood there, you know, for 10 years at that headquarters, and I was their chief counsel. And When I discovered all of this stuff, I started exploring this and discovering that the kind of capabilities that the ETs are demonstrating are the same kind of capabilities that high-level avatars in our human family do. They can levitate, they can engage in astral travel, they can remote view, they can transmute matter from one form into another, they can teleport physical objects. You know, these are things that are being studied at, you know, at Princeton University and at Duke University. Those are the things that human beings are capable of doing.
Professor, but
ET people are thousands of years more advanced than we are in these techniques, and that's what's going on here.
So what, again, too simplistic, I know, it seems that the focus with our country has been on this reverse engineering so we can use them for weapons. Why aren't we engaging, I mean, unless these entities are malevolent in nature, why aren't we engaging with them to learn from them and to do something that would better our world rather than kill people?
Well, that's one of the questions. Why do we have a $1.5 trillion military budget while people are dying of diseases that we've known the cure for 100 years? You know, this distortion of the entire motivation system of our country by this national security state group that has been put together inside the Pentagon and inside the Central Intelligence Agency, you know, is completely warping and distorting the entire motivation of our entire government, so that they're kind of dedicated to establishing, in their own terms, full spectrum dominance over our planet, so that they continue to maintain their continued privileged access to the strategic raw materials that they believe are necessary for our major corporations. It's a whole theory of economic development and stimulation to your economy, which ends up having a military domination dimension to it. And so that's what the problem is. There's an old Sufi saying, when a pickpocket meets a saint, all he sees are his pockets.
Yes.
You know, and mm-hmm. So there's this distorted perception system going on the part of the people that are trained into this national security state that distort all of the objectives of our country. And here we are faced with this extraordinary opportunity of beings from extraterrestrial civilizations who have perhaps billion years more advanced than we do in all kinds of areas of science and health and everything, and they're keeping it secret. All they're trying to do is figure out how to turn it into a weapon system. We've got to come to grips with this as voters in our country. We've got to put people into office in the House and the Senate who will take charge of this and say, enough is enough, that this national security state has distorted our priorities. They're threatening the whole world with thermonuclear war. You know, they've got wars going on. You know, they're supporting Israel in bombing Gaza, killing 70,000 civilians, you know, 20,000 children, you know, and they've got the Russia in Ukraine. Russia is losing 30,000 men every single month are getting killed over there. And the Ukrainians are 20,000, you know, men being killed every single month. And here in the United States, we're just kind of tra-la-la-ing, going along, finding out what the latest White Sox game, scores were. You know, we've got to have a higher level of responsibility than that as voters. We are the 4% of the population on the entire planet here as voters in the United States who can do anything about this.
And that's bringing me to my... It's my last question. We only have a minute left. What can people do? If people are upset about this, as well they should be, who do you contact? What do you ask for? And where do you direct your anger?
This is very simple. What you do is you contact the New Paradigm Institute. NewParadigmInstitute.org. That's on the internet. And you can become a member of Citizens for Disclosure. Citizens for Disclosure is completely free. We provide information to you all about who your congressional representatives are, how they're voting on all of this thing. We keep you informed on what the bills are that are available to vote on. We can help give you educational materials, just like the person who asked, you know, who are all these kind of, you know, tinfoil hat people that are making all this stuff up. It's absolutely clear that the evidence is overwhelming if you just look at it. And you can have house parties. You can invite your neighbors, friends and neighbors in. Show them a copy of Age of Disclosure. You know, look at these 34 people, top secret guys inside our government, telling you that it's true. You know, I mean, we've got to move our people. They've moved the doomsday clock up now to 85 seconds before midnight. You know, we're looking at the hugest threat of thermonuclear exchanges now that we've faced since the Cuban Missile Crisis back in 1962.
Thank you.
So we've got to take steps now.
And I think
New Paradigm Institute.
New Paradigm Institute.
NewParadigmInstitute.org.
Thank you so much for joining us. It was just really, really enlightening. Really a pleasure talking to you, and I appreciate you devoting an hour. That was Professor Daniel Sheehan, New Paradigm Institute. Thank you so much for joining us.
Terrific. Anytime, Karen.
All right.
You
take care.
We'll talk about it whenever you want.
All right.
Thank you.
Sounds great.